last time we were discussing the restrictions of an avel in tefillah, or what situations an avel minag refrains from that for an avel. Oren asked about an avel leaning Megillah on Purim. So just spend a couple minutes discussing that now. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Tafresh Tzadi Vav Sifkatan Yud Beis, Tafresh Tzadi Vav Sifkatan Yud Beis, he quotes from a Tshuvas Binyan Olam Siman Lamed Hay, that an avel should preferably not lay in the Megillah publicly if there is someone else who can lay in with the same proficiency. If there's no one who's as qualified as the avel, then the avel is allowed to lay in Megillah on Tisha B'Av. So preferably an avel should not lay in, and if he's the most qualified candidate, then the avel may, sorry, on Purim, then the avel may lay in on Purim. As the Mishnah Berurah quotes, Tafreit Tzadi Vasif Katan Yud Beis. So you might have said that the reason for such a restriction is along the lines of what we read or were a little bit puzzled by in the citation from the Maril, that an Avel doesn't daven for an Amud on Chanukah Rosh Chodesh Hallel. He davens up to Hallel, and the lashon was up to Hallel on Rosh Chodesh Chanukah and Purim. As we know, we don't say Purim on Hallel, so presumably that's a reference to Megillah. So maybe what the Maril meant was that just as on Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Avil can daven Shacharis but shouldn't daven Hallel for an Amud, then on Purim and Avil can daven Shacharis but shouldn't lay in the Megillah in public. But no one actually says that. The reason that the Binyan Olam gives, Mishnah Berurah again quotes this Binyan Olam, Siman Lamed Hey, Binyan Olam does make a reference to the parallel to Shabbos and Yom Tov, where an Avil doesn't daven for an Amud, but it sounds like the issue of concern that the Binyan Olam highlights is the public recitation of a Shachiyonu. That if an Avil is going to lay in the Megillah, then he's going to have to say the brachos, including the brachos is Shachiyonu, and it's inappropriate for an Avil to make a public Shachiyonu during his Avelus. Just as an Avil shouldn't say Shachiyonu on Chanukah if he lights, or an Avil shouldn't light the menorah in Shul on Chanukah, which would lead him to say a Shachiyonu.
Would he have a problem with his own?
I'm sorry?
With anything Seder Brachos that you would say Shachiyonu for and Yom Tov and things like that, there's no Shalom?
You're asking Lamaisa?
I'm saying according to Binyan Olam. So someone else should light candles, and else should say Kiddush. I mean, all those things he shouldn't do.
No. So what? So the Binyan Olam is the concern seems to be a public Shachiyonu, not a private Shachiyonu. Okay. But interestingly, the Binyan Olam doesn't say, well, if the only issue is the recitation of Shachiyonu, then let the Avel lain and let someone else say the brachos. The Binyan Olam doesn't say that, but the Mishnah Berurah does quote such a suggestion. In the name of other Achronim, Derech Achayim, Mishnah Berurah in Tafrei Tzadi Beis, Sifkatan Aleph, Tafrei Tzadi Beis, Sifkatan Aleph, quote from Derech Achayim, that if an Avel is going to lay on Purim, then he should have someone else say the brachos, so he doesn't have to recite the public Shachiyam. That's what you would have expected the Binyan Olam maybe to suggest. He doesn't. The Binyan Olam just says point blank, or as a matter of course, an Avil shouldn't lay in, period, unless there's no one who's as qualified. The Mishnah Berurah here quotes in Derech HaChayim that if the Avil is the most qualified, he still shouldn't say the brachas himself. He should have someone else say the brachas because of the Shachiyonu issue. In the Sefer Pnei Baruch, page Shin Kaf, he quotes from the Luach Eretz Yisrael, the Luach of Rebbe Chaim Lechel Tukhachinsky. He quotes from the Adaras. The Adaras argued on this equation between Chanukah and Purim and said as follows. On Chanukah, we tell an Avil not to light the menorah in Shul because that's going to lead him to say Shachiyonu, since the Avil has no chiyuv to light a menorah in that context. That's only a public matter of pirsum, and better have someone else light the menorah. On Purim, everyone is mechuyev in their own private Shachayanu for Kriyas HaMegillah. So the Avil is no less qualified than anyone else to say the Shachayanu because he's Bechayim HaDavar as much as the next guy. That's the position of the Adaras, that there's no reason to bar an Avil from reciting Shachayanu as part of the Brachos on Kriyas HaMegillah in Shul, and therefore no reason to restrict an Avil from laning Megillah in during his Avelus.
I don't get the Chanukah aspect of it.
When it comes to Chanukah, the recommendation is that an Avil should not publicly light the menorah in Shul, when we light the menorah in Shul at night on Chanukah, because that's going to force him to say Shachianu, and he shouldn't be saying that Shachianu in public. Says the Adaras, that's different than the Shachianu and Megillah. That Shachianu in Shul, only one person saying that Shachianu, no one else in Bukhuyim the Shachianu. It's only Mishon, the Persumi Nisa, the people gather there. So that's an extra Shachianu that no one is really mechuyev in. So don't have the Avil say that Shachianu. The Shachianu for Megillah, everyone is mechuyev in the Shachianu because everyone is mechuyev in Kriyas Megillah, and the only way you're fulfilling Kriyas Megillah is in Shul, as opposed to lighting Chanukah candles. You do it in the privacy of your own home. Megillah has to be read in Shul. So in that situation where everyone is equally mechuyev in Shachianu, there's no reason to restrict the Avil from reciting the public Shachianu. That's what the Adara said.
Would you apply that to the next day where there's a
Probably, because to the extent that our minhag is you do say Shachianu, then everyone is mechuyev the Shachianu just as well. And it does seem that the minhag olam is to be makel on this, or to allow an avel to lay Megillah and to recite the brachas when he does lay, if that's the normal bar kori at least. Tshuvah shevet alevi chelek tas simen kuf mem vav. Shevet Alevi Chela Test Simikov Mevav. Rav Vosner notes that many are makel about this. In the Dirshe Mishnah Brura, they quote from Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv as well that they assumed that Avil can lay in the Megillah and recite the Brachos without restriction.
Against the Mishnah Brura.
Against the Mishnah Brura. Okay, let's go back now to wrapping up the sugya of She'elas Shalom that we discussed last time. Rav Avadya has a fascinating kula, Chelik Beis, page Resh Mem Zayin, based on the following. Take a look in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Tzadi Dalet Se'if Dalet. Shin Tzadi Dalet Se'if Dalet. Kol shlosha yamim yir ha'avel kilu cherev nunachas l'bein seifav. An avel should have the perception, the mindset, during the first 3 days of avelus, that there is a sword between the shoulders. V'shlosha ha'shivak ilu zakuv kenegdo v'karen zavis. It's in the same room in a corner. V'shivav ha'shloshim kilu veris l'fanim b'shuk. It's out in the public. And that whole year, there is this din mesucha against the whole family. That's based on Risham. The im nolad ben zacher ba'osa mishpacha nisrapa kol mishpacha. And if there's a baby boy born into the family of Avelim, then that's a refuah for the family, and that gets rid of that midas hadin that is mesucha keneged osa hamishpacha. The Shachar and Sifkat and Beis. Writes that the minhag is in such a situation where a baby boy is born into the family, the normal restrictions of Simcha Umishta do not apply. Since the birth of this baby creates a refuah for the family, we waive or we relax the restrictions of Mishnah Simcha, which we'll talk about when we get to the Simen of Simcha for an Avel. So Rav Avadya suggests that why is there fundamentally an Issur She'elas Shalom? Because an Avel during Shloshim for Sharkovim, during Yud Beis Chodesh for Avivim, is not Shari B'Shalom. Why isn't Shari B'Shalom? Because there's this cloud hovering over him, this Midas Hadin Mesucha. But if there's a baby boy born in the family, that gets rid of the Midas Din Mesucha, and there shouldn't be any Isser of Shari B'Shalom anymore. Because he is B'Shalom. Nola Ben Zachar. Ravadia's fascinating suggestion, la halacha. Okay. Rav Shechter posts in the Rav that in addition to the Isser She'elas Shalom of an Avel, the restrictions on being Shalom B'Shalom Avel or the Avel being Shalom B'Shalom Acherim, depending on what period of Avelus they're in. In addition to that, there's another restriction of She'elas Shalom B'Beis Avel. Independent of any Avel per se, one of the halachas in a Beis HaAvel is that a person should be Shalom B'Shalom Acherim in the Beis HaAvel. Aruch HaShulchan writes this as well, that there is an independent Isser of Shalom B'Shalom as one of the halachas of a Beis HaAvel. And Rav Shechter quotes that Rav Moshe assumed this way as well, B'Ikvei Atzon, page Kuf Kaf Aleph. Is there Shaila Shalom Beis Avel independent of whether the Avel is involved in that conversation? The Rama writes here.
Is anyone Mako?
I'm sorry?
Is anyone Mako?
Is anyone Mako? I think those who don't talk about it are probably Mako. And it's not befavorish in any early source that there's an Isser Shaila Shalom Beis Avel per se. The Rama writes in Sif Gimel Okay, we're still in Shin Pei Hei. The Rama writes in Sif Gimel V'asu l'shloach manos l'avel al avi v'imo kol yibbeis chodesh. You're not allowed to send presents to an avel during yibbeis chodesh. V'afilu b'shabbos b'makim shenagu shel elishol b'shlomo b'shabbos. Okay, so no sending presents to an Avel during Yud Beis Chodesh. This is based on a Maril. Maril writes in Tshuva Simin Lamed Aleph. Tshuva is Maril Simin Lamed Aleph. Eilucha Shela Shalom Godlam Mizeh. Shela Shalom doesn't have to be a literal greeting or statement. Shela Shalom could be a gesture of friendship as well. And giving a present is a form of She'elas Shalom. So here the Rambam is talking about mishloach manos in the sense of giving a present, but this is relevant to the formal mishloach manos on Purim. Simen tafrei tzadi vav se'if vav. Simen tafrei tzadi vav se'if vav. Yesh mi she'omer sha'avel chayiv l'shloach manos. So there is an opinion of Rishonim that the Mechaber is coming lafuke. The Riaz in the Shilte Agiborim Yitzayim Abayz V'dapei Rif writes that an Avel Toch Shiva is pater from Mishloach Manos. Interesting why that should be so, but that's a minority position in Rishonim. All the other Rishonim implicitly argue, because we don't find such a restriction anywhere else, and that's what we say in Mishloach Manos, that an Avel is indeed Chayiv in Mishloach Manos, even Toch Shiva. However, the Rama adds, Aval ein shalchin la'avel kol yibbeis chodesh, based on the Maril, that a person should not send Mishloach Manos to an Avel during yibbeis chodesh. An Avel can give Mishloach Manos because he's b'chuyiv in the mitzvah sayom, but no one's b'chuyiv to receive or accept Mishloach Manos, and therefore an Avel should not be given, one should not give Mishloach Manos to an Avel. That's a form of She'elas Shalom. Vim ein be'ir ella avel im afir chayiv l'shloach la'avel kedei l'chayiv mishloach manos ella im kei macha la'avel amanoso. But if the only way for someone else to be mekayim in the midst of mishloach manos is to send to the avel, there's no one else around, then you're allowed to send to the avel because that's the only way you have of fulfilling the mitzvah. That's Rashkenazim. Rav Avadi writes, page Reish Nun Vav, that especially since the Mechaber, we'll maybe get to this when we get towards the later Simanim of Avelos Anyantiv, but the Mechaber is more makel than the Ramah about the status of Avelos on Purim. The Mechaber essentially treats Purim as Shabbos, and the Mechaber is makel that there's no Isser She'elas Shalom on Shabbos. So if that's the case, then for Sephardim, who follow the Psak of the Mechaber, there are no restrictions on sending Mishloach Manos Tanovel. The only reason to restrict it is because it's a form of She'elas Shalom. But if Sephardim assume that Purim has the status of Shabbos as far as Avelos, and there's no Isser She'elas Shalom on Shabbos, then for Sephardim, there's no restriction on sending Mishloach Manos to an Avel on Purim. The reason for the Ramah is that we are machmir, that we don't treat Purim as Shabbos for Avelos, and we also are machmir, at least some are machmir, on the Yisr Shev Shalom on Shabbos. So for two reasons, one, or an Ashkenazi, would be more machmir than a Sephardi on the Mishloach Manos count. What about sending Mishloach? Yeah.
Is it a Gafur or a Sarkas? I mean, if the guy's a Sephardi,
yeah,
can we give him? Because for him, it's mutter.
Well, so you're asking, is there an Isser of She'elas Shalom to an Avel for whom he himself is no Isser She'elas Shalom, but for you, okay. So if you hold like the Badi Shulchan's Chiddush, that the whole Isser of being Shalom or Shalom Avel is because of a Loag L'Rash, and the Avel can be Mochel, then definitely not. Even if you don't say that, you could probably well argue that if for him, he holds his no Isser She'elas Shalom, so why do we have to be any more firm than him? Okay, I hear that. And so anyway, if you don't say that by the Shulchan, you have to give some other explanation as to why there's an Isser for non-Avil to be Shalom Shalom the Avil. So probably whatever explanation you give may lend you to be makel in that kind of a case. Good. What about sending Shloach Manos to the spouse of an Avel? The Vayei Shulchan writes, Beyurim Reish Lamed Hei, Beyurim Reish Lamed Hei, that should depend on your kavana. As if your intention really is to give the Shloach Manos to the Avel, and you're just trying to bypass the restriction by giving it to, let's say, his wife, then that should not be done. If your intention really is to give it to the spouse, then that would be mutter. You mean savlanos?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a different issue. Let's say we get around the savlanos issue. There's ones we make about savlanos nowadays, so leaving aside the savlanos issue. There's another issue they raise. What about Masha Kanta Isha Kana Vailo? So you're going to give it to the wife, but if the husband's the one who's an Avel, Masha Kanta Isha Kana Vailo. So Rabbi Yashiv is quoted in the Pnei Baruch Pei Shin Kaf Gemel, because Rabbi Yashiv, no. Masha Kanta Isha Kana Vailo is a Choshe Mishvat Halacha. There's no Isser for a Avel to be Kona Shloach Manos. The Isser is for him to receive Shloach Manos from a no-sein, or for someone to give him Shloach Manos, because that's the form of She'elas Shalom. So the fact that someone gives it to the Avel's wife, the Avel hasn't received Shloach Manos al Shloach Manos. He may acquire ownership because of a Choshe Mishpat Halacha of Masha Kansi, or an Eben Ezra Halacha, because of a Kinyanim Halacha of Masha Kansi, Isha Kanabayla, but that's not a violation of not receiving Shloach Manos. That's what he calls the Rav Yashiv, to distinguish between kinyanim and yisurim, if you will, or the practice of not giving shloach manos. I heard secondhand the Rabbi Willig was skeptical about giving shloach manos to the spouse of an avel, because it's really one unit, and you're really giving it to the avel. But also, I didn't hear that directly, so you can ask. But I think I heard that secondhand. There's an interesting line in Shimon's Divrei Malkiel, Divrei Malkiel, the Kitzes Farm quote this. Divrei Malkiel, Chelak Hei Simen Reish Lamed Zayin. Lam Sharav, Divrei Malkiel, Chelak Hei Simen Reish Lamed Zayin. If the rabbi is an Avel, so the Shaul suggested, and the Divrei Malkiel agrees, that you're allowed to give Shalachmanos to the rabbi, because that's Kishilim Chov, the Ein Zem Yitzad Simcha, V'hu Davar Ha'avud, Devade Shari, V'gam Dela Gar Mistaka. So it sounds like he's talking about a situation where part of the rabbi's parnasa was from Shalachmanos, so he got the money for Mechiris Chametz, and he got whatever he got for Shalachmanos, but that was conceived as part of his salary. So if he wouldn't be entitled to receive Shalachmanos from Balabatim, then he'd be taking a financial hit. So it sounds like that's the Divrei Malkiel context, and that kind of situation, that's not viewed as Mireyus, as Simcha, as Sheila Shalom. That's part of the contractual relationship between the Balabatim and the Rav, that they give the Rav Shalachmanos on her. But I presume that it doesn't sound like the Divrei Malkiel's Kula would apply to most of our contemporary situations where we at least hope that the Balabatim are giving Shalachmanos to the Rav is because they like him and want to be friendly, and not because some kind of Piran Chov.
But it might apply to before Pesach, that's where they all give him money after they put him as the, if you send us as a Matana.
That's not a Matana in the... we'll talk about Matana in a second, so... Okay, so... Kevin Da'asu Lidad Nema Bamilsa. The Mishabura writes in Hilchot Tisha B'Av, Simen Tav Kuf Nun Dalet Sifkata Mem Aleph, Tav Kuf Nun Dalet Sifkata Mem Aleph, that you shouldn't give someone a present, a gift on Tisha B'Av. And the post can assume that that's true for an Avil as well. I presume...
Sifkata Mem Aleph?
Sifkata Mem Aleph, yeah. I presume that this may not apply to a monetary gift. I think with Mechiris Chametz, I wouldn't even view that as a gift. I would view that as part of a salary or payment for a service. But even if you wanted to argue in some similar situation that's a gift, I'm not sure if the Isser of giving a present to an Avel applies to a monetary gift. It applies to something of substance where there's a certain level of Simcha or Ke'en Sheila Shalom by giving an object to an Avel. I haven't seen this discussed, but off the cuff, I could hear a distinction between giving a gift of an object and giving a monetary gift. But you can look around and see if I'm going to talk about it. When Moshe writes in the Shuvah, Cheli Bei Simen Kuf Samaches, Yoredei Cheli Bei Simen Kuf Samaches, he's commenting on the widespread practice of sending food to a base Avel above and beyond the Suda Sabra. Widespread practice in America to inundate a base avil with much more food than the avil would ever have any havamina of eating for the next month. So Ramosha is asked whether that's a violation of giving a present to an avil. And he says, no, that's considered part of the tanchumin. That's even if it's not technically the Suda Savra, but it's in the spirit of Suda Savra, the spirit of providing the needs for an avil, so an avil doesn't have to fend for himself. So that's an expansion of that notion of Suda Savra, even if it doesn't technically fall into that category, that's not considered giving a matana to an avil. Let's move on now to Simen Shin Pei Vav and the Dinim of Atifas Harosh.
What about getting a sefer?
Assume that should be mutter. If you get someone something that they need, I can't see any reason not to. Okay, the Gemara in Tesvavim and Aleph writes that an Avel is Chayav Ativas HaRosh based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel V'lo Sata Al Safam. And the Gemara on Daf Chavdalim and Aleph points out that we're talking about Atifas Yishma'elim. Kol Atifas She'eino Katifas Yishma'elim Ein Atifas, just as we have in Hilchos Tzitzis, the notion of Atifas Yishma'elim. So the Gemara writes over here that the requirement of Atifas HaRosh means Atifas Yishma'elim. What's Ativis Yishma'elim? The Gemara says, Mafi Rav Nachman Agovi Didikna. Rav Nachman pointed to himself to demonstrate Ativis Yishma'elim up to Govi Didikna. Rashi Gumos Shebalefi Lamata Mipiv. The crevices in the cheek below the mouth. So Ativis Yishma'elim would mean to cover the face up to the area below the cheeks. Okay. Tosus writes, Adaf Kaf Aleph Amin Aleph, Diver Hamastel Eilu Dvarim. Umashe Nogin Atalasa Satifas HaRosh Kfiya Samita. Nowadays the practice was not to engage in Atifas HaRosh or Kfiya Samita, which we'll talk about next. Samchina Nohadar Mina B'Yishalmi Achsanoi Eino Chayi B'Kfiya Samita. A guest doesn't have to do Kfiya Samita. Delo Lemron Charashu Perish Mechashev. People might think, if they don't know what the context is, they may think he's doing some kind of witchcraft. We have all these people that live in our midst that won't understand what we're doing, and they'll think we're engaging in some kind of sorcery, witchcraft, some funny activity, which could get us into trouble. And then Tosfos writes, "V'od yesh li tentam b'tivus harosh shelo hayamevi ki im lidei schok." If people go around covering their heads, that's going to make people laugh at us. So what? Wouldn't be the first time, wouldn't be the last time. Why do we care if anyone laughs at us? Suggests the Badi Shulchan Sivkatan Dalid that the whole notion or all the details within Hilchos Avelos are ways to manifest kavod hames, or kavod avelim. We're showing respect for the dead, or we're showing respect for the avelim. But if you're going to create a situation in which you're forcing the avelim into something that's going to make them a laughing stock, then that's not kavod hames, that's not kavod chayim, that's not kavod anything. You're not having anyone respected, you're having them despised or ridiculed. He says you have precedent for such an idea in a comment of the Ritva. The Ritva Kaf Beis Amud Beis, the end of Dibur Maskil Al Aviv. Kaf Beis Amud Beis, the end of Dibur Maskil Al Aviv. The Ritva there is commenting on the Gemara's practice of Chalitzas Kaseif, something else that we don't do nowadays that didn't even make it to Shulchan Aruch, of ripping part of the shoulder to expose part of the shoulder. The Ritva writes over there, Kaf Beis Amud Beis. The Afshav Lo Nagua Olam Bechalitzas Kaseif. But we don't do that anymore. V'lo yada rizal afarish tam bar v'dagar. We didn't know why. V'yesha pirshu nenei sherov Yisrael darim ben agayim v'shema yal ego alena. They're going to laugh at us. V'eino kavod shel meis. That's not kavod meis. If an avil is going to be doing something al tzavelus, that's going to make people laugh. Rather Shulchan thinks that that's the same idea going on over here, that we don't want to be laughed at, not because we really care if anyone laughs at us, but that's not going to be a form of kavod hames. That's what Tosfos means, and nowadays we live bein hanochrim, and if we're going to wrap ourselves as atifas yishma'elim, we're going to wear a kafiyah in the middle of Krakow, then people are going to laugh. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Simon Shin Pei Vav Avol Chayi Badibas Harosh Dahainu Sheyichas Harosh of the Talis Obisudur V'yatzir Psaso Al Piv V'yal Rosh Achotim. So you have to cover partially your mouth on the bottom and partially the top of your nose on the top. V'hani Mili Shetzara Chatifa B'chol Yom V'akishabam Menachem Eslo Megal Rosh Lefodam. Atibas Harosh is when there are no Avelim. When the Avelim are there, then you dafka uncover, when there are menachemim there, you dafka uncover because it's disrespectful to the menachemim for you to be all covered. Hagah, v'yesh omrim she'ei nogin v'medinos eile v'atifa. We don't do that anymore. V'chein ha'menek pashut. V'ein l'hachmir l'shayim v'meshel v'nog v'aseinu. The person shouldn't be machmir himself. The established minag is not to engage in atibas yishma'elim. Therefore, one should not be machmir in that which our forefathers did not do themselves. However, the Shach writes as follows. Miyu yesh linog batifa ksas. We should do a quasi-atifa. Dahainu limshoch hakova lamata lifnei hainayim. To lower the hat at an angle that's lower than the norm, to lower the hat over the eyes or in front of the eyes, above the eyes. That's what the Shach writes. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, and better to do this if possible, that an Avil should sit and wear the hat over his eyes. Vadi HaShulchan writes, the minhag is not this way, not to be makbid on atifa of a hat. When Rav Shechter was sitting Shiva, Rav Shechter was makbid to wear a hat down. Rabbi Willig was not. Rabbi Willig writes in his sefer that given it's clear that we're not noagatif is Ishmaelim, then there's no need to be mechadesh other forms of atifa when it says a minhag is not to do atifa. Birka Yosef writes over here, Ha'ola noagin she'ena avil mis'atef batifa sarosh kol ayom el b'shasha ban l'nachamo. Hepach ma'ashikas v'poskim da'atifa kol ayom u'kishaba menachamim megala rosham. So presumably, Birka Yosef is talking about the quasi atifa of the Shach. Probably not the full-fledged Atifas Yishmaelim. He says the minhag is that the Avil would do Atifa Dafka when the Menachemim were there, which is against what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the exact opposite of what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Willig pointed out, it sounds like Hagufa, the fact that the minhag switched and people who wear the hat over their eyes dafka when the menachem are there is an indication that this isn't the real Atifas Yishmaelim, because the real Atifas Yishmaelim you dafka uncover when the menachem come. So Me'ikar Adin, there's no such chiv. Emek HaBracha wonders about the following. Arya Pomeranchik, Emek HaBracha, page Kuf Mem Aleph. He thinks that it's appropriate, so the full Atifas Yishmaelim we don't do. But you should cover however much of the face you can cover in a way that's not going to make people laugh. So he thinks, for example, when you're davening, that's the one time that we do Atifas HaRosh. So even someone who's not makbid to cover his head by Atifas HaRosh, the entire davening, under normal circumstances, if he's an Avel, should be makbid on Atifas HaRosh for the entirety of davening. That's what the Emek Bracha suggests, that wherever it makes sense to do Atifas Yishmaelim in a way that's not going to lead to laughter and scorn, that Yidavka should do. So minimally, you should be makbid on Atifas HaRosh for the entirety of davening. And he wonders why no one says that. I presume no one says it because once the minhag developed that we're not makbid on a tefillah shmeila, we're not makbid, period. Even in a situation where the reasons don't necessarily apply. And similarly, he's worried, he's bothered, he's writing, he moved to Eretz Yisrael in the early 30s, I think. The late 20s or early 30s? I think the 30s. So he writes, he doesn't understand why people aren't makbid on tefillah shmeila in Eretz Yisrael. So Mela in Europe, when he was in Brisk, no one's worried about kafiyas. But in Eretz Yisrael, there are plenty of people wearing kafiyas. So no one's going to laugh at you if you do a tefillah shmeila in Eretz Yisrael. So why isn't it, since you have so many Arabs that dress away anyway, why weren't people in Eretz Yisrael makbid on tefillah shmeila? So he wonders about that as well.
Would that be, is it about like the surrounding culture, even the Jewish culture? It'd still be weird to walk around with an tefillah shmeila if you're Jewish.
So the way the Rishonim presented it, we just saw from Tosfos, is that the Goyim are going to be Malik.
Right.
If the Goyim are Arabs, they're not going to be Malik because that's how they dress.
Oh, okay.
I think that was his concern.
Okay.
Let's move on now to Kfiya Samita, Simen Shin Pei Zayin, which is the other halacha that we don't do anymore. Back to Tezvav and Aleph, the sources for all the Nihuvi Avelus, the Gemara there says at the very bottom of the page, Avel Chai B'Kviya Samita, D'Tani Bar Kapara, D'Mus D'Yukni Nasati Behen, Uba Avanoseyan Hifachtia, Kafu Mitoseyan Aleha. Why do we do Kviya Samita? Why do we bend the bed or fold the bed? The Musta Yukni Nasati Ben Kosh Baruch Hu infused us with a Tzalam Elokim, Uba Avin Oseim Efachtia, and due to their sins, I had to fold up the Tzalam Elokim, and if someone died, I took back the Tzalam Elokim. Kafu Mitasein Aleha. So in response, I, so to speak, folded up the Tzalam Elokim, so you fold up your beds. That's the Gemara source of Kriya Samita, no pasuk in Yecheskel, this memra of Bar Kapara of the Musti Yukni Nasati Bahed. Okay, source one. Gemara says in Kazayin and Aleph, that's Kriya Samita, that's folding the bed. Gemara says in Kazayin and Aleph, towards the top, Tana Rabbanan, Me'ema Saizok Vinas Amitos Bereshabbos. So the beds are folded, and now Ereshabbos, you're unfolding them, you're putting them back together. So at what point in Ereshabbos are you allowed to put the beds back together? Mina Mincha Lamala, Amar Rabba Bar Huna, Afal Pikain, Eino Yoshev Eleha Asha Tachshach. Even though you can rearrange the beds Friday afternoon, you're not allowed to sit on the beds until dark. Okay. So the Gemara tells us you have to fold the beds, and the Gemara tells us that before Shabbos, you can unfold the beds. So what do you do with the folded beds? Rambam writes, Perek Dalet Alachates, V'chayav leishev al mita kfuya. You have to sit on a folded bed. On day one. V'bishar yimei avil mutar lelecha mishalo v'leishev agabi metfes o karka v'maniach tefillin. And the rest of after day one, you can sit on a mat or the ground, but you don't dafka have to sit on the folded bed. And the rabbi is masig lo reisi shorish lezeh. Why do you have to sit on the folded bed? That's what the Rush writes as well, Siman Ayin Ches, that you don't have to sit or sleep on the folded bed. So if you don't have to sit or sleep on the folded bed, then why do you have to fold the bed? Aruch HaShulchan points out, Sif Aleph Sif Beis here, that there are two different elements within the Din of Kviyas Hamita. Number one is the Gemara's element of Demus Diyupni, that you have to demonstrate that the Tzelem Elokim was taken by folding a bed. So that's Nihug Avelus in doing something to the bed. But beyond that, there's another din, which we'll have to source shortly, of Yeshiva Gabe Karka, that an Avel should not or may not sit on a normal chair. An Avel has to sit on the ground. So the bed could be folded up to prevent sitting on the bed, even though you don't have to sit on the folded bed, as long as you don't sit on the floor. We'll develop that in a moment. Rav Shechter points out from the Rav, Bitvei Atzon, page Kuf Kuf Aleph, that Kfiyas Hamita is another one of those halachos in a Beis Avel. Said the beds in a Beis Avel have to be folded. And you see that from the Gemara we just read in Daf Kaf Zayin. Erev Shabbos, min hamincha l'malo, you can unfold the beds, even though you can't sit on them yet. So there seems to be, independent of where you're allowed to sit, there seems to be another halacha in a Beis Avel that the beds have to be folded. So once it's already getting close to Shabbos, you can unfold the beds, even though you're not allowed to sit on the beds, because that's a Beis Avel halacha, independent of what restrictions exist for the Avel. The Tosas that we quoted a moment ago, Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph, in addition to discussing why we're not knowing Atifis Ishmaelim, discusses why we're not knowing Kfiyas Hamita. So the first reason that applied to Atifis Ishmaelim applies here as well, that we're concerned about Kishuf. We're concerned that people may think we're doing something mysterious with the beds, and therefore, because of the danger involved, we don't do Kviyas Hamita. And then Tosin says another reason, that our beds are constructed differently than the old beds, and they're not as easily folded as old beds. So to the extent that that's true, that we're not knowing Kfiyas Hamita, how does that impact on the second din of Yeshiva al Gabe Karka? So it says in Shulchan Aruch here, Shin Pei Zayin, Avol Chai B'Kfiyas Hamita, U'Bishas Sheina V'Achila Yoshev Al Mita Kfuya. Then Avol has to fold his bed. When he's sleeping or eating, he sits on the folded bed. But the rest of the day, when he's not eating or sleeping, he sits on the ground. The Menachem also sit on the ground. So you don't do Kfiyas Hamita, but the first din of Yeshiva Gabe Karka still should apply. what is the gather of that? The Gaon here in Sivkot and Beis quotes a girsa in the Gemara that we don't have in our printed Gemara. Shehishvitua matpisim. The printers left it out. It sounds like the Gaon is not sure why the printers left it out or shouldn't have left it out. But it's a girsa that appears in the Rabban and the Rif and the Rush. It sounds like many of Rishonim have this girsa that was omitted from our Gemara. What's this girsa? It should have been in the Gemara on Daf Kaf Chesam and Aleph. So the Gemara that the Ramban and others have reads as follows: Minay la'avel she'eno rasha leishev agabe amita el agabe karka. How do we know that an avel is not permitted to sit on a bed, but must sit on the ground? Shenemar v'yashafe ito la'aretz. Sorry, by Yeshvu we tell Aris, Pasuk in Iyov. That Iyov's friend sat with him on the ground. So the Gemara that we don't have in our printed Gemara, but many of Yishonim have, says that's the source of the din of Yeshiva Gabi Karka. And Abel must sit on the ground. Take a look at the Gemara Kafav on the base, towards the bottom. The Ein Marvin Almita Sukufos, when you provide the Sudas Havra for an Avel, they shouldn't be sitting on straight beds. Tana Rabbanan, Haholech Lebesa Avel, Im Hayalibo Gaspo, Yavru Almitos Kafuyos. Vim Lav, Yavru Almitos Sukufos. So if a person goes to an avel, a base avel, to provide the suda safra, so if the person is friendly with him, if he has a close relationship, then they should provide the suda safra on folded beds. If they don't have a close relationship, they should provide the suda safra on erect beds. Explains the Ramban, the Tarsa Adam, that if they're close, if they have a relationship of libo gaspo, so then the Avelim and the Menachemim together should both sit on mitos kvuyos. It's a heightened manifestation of Avelis. If they're not so close, they should both sit on mitos zukufos. So this is the source for what the Mechaber indicates here in Sif Aleph, that there's a difference between the requirement of sitting al gabe karka when it comes to a normal state, as opposed to the shas achila. Shas achila, you see from the Gemara here, that you can sit either on a mita sukufa or a mita kefuya, but you don't have to sit al gabe karka mamish, as opposed to the default position, where you would have to sit al gabe karka mamish. Badi Shulchan suggests maybe that was only Bimeya. The more lax position, Bishas Achila, that an Avil doesn't have to sit al Gabi Karka Bishas Achila, maybe that was only Bisnaneyem when the default position for Achila was one of Haseba. So if normally speaking a person eats Haseba, and when they're an Avil, they eat on a Mita Kafuya or even a Mita Zakufa, that's a significant change from the normal eating position. But nowadays, where we don't eat Behaseba, then there would be a requirement of eating Agabe Karka Mamish, because otherwise you wouldn't have much of a distinction between the normal eating position and the Avelis eating position. Rabbi Willig is bothered by the following. This is written up in the end of the Amordechai and Brachos, Simon Beis. Look in Tosas, Kazayin Amud Aleph, Minamin Chulamala. Right, that Gemara that said that Erev Shabbos, you can make the beds erect again in the afternoon, Minamin Chulamala, says Tosas. Pirshu B'Tosas Harav, the Mesapkele Yimincha G'doli Mincha K'tana. So do we mean 12:30 or much later in the afternoon? D'mikar L'chein Einu Yoshev Aleha. Nirali, D'mikan Samchu Shelo Leishev Algabe Kisa V'Safsal. So this is the basis of the Minog that an Ovel doesn't sit on a chair or a bench. Afavish ain raya gemura, the shiny mita hovitz are a kafia, velo matzinu kafia, bekise visafso. So the Tosa says, maybe this is the raya, maybe this is the makor for the practice that an oval doesn't sit on a chair. But even though the Gemara is only talking about beds, and that it's to be kofa bed, and it's not shaykh to be kofa chair, but the fact that you're not sitting on a bed in the normal fashion, maybe that's the source for the practice of not sitting on a chair in a normal fashion. That's Tosfos here, Kazayin Amud Aleph. The Rabbi Willig is bothered. Why does Tosfos have to make that cheshbon? Maybe this is the source of the minhag of not sitting on chairs. What about the Gemara Mufresh of Sandaf Kav Ches, the Pasuk in Iyuv? So I might have said, well, maybe Tosfos didn't have that Girsa. The Ramban has it, the Rush has it, the Riff has it. But the Gaon doesn't know why it's taken out of our printed Gemaras, but do we know for a fact that Tosfos had that Girsa? The Rabbi Willig assumes it must be, if the Rush had and all the Rishonim had it, and the Gaon thinks it should have been the Gemara, it must be that Tosfos had the Girsa as well. And if so, why does Tosfos have to command to extrapolate it from Kfiyas Amita, the practice of not sitting on chairs? It's a Befeirish Gemara in Daf Kav Ches, or should have been a Befeirish Gemara in Daf Kav Ches, just left it out of our editions, that Pasuk in Iyuv tells you an Aval has to sit on the floor. Rabbi Willig suggests, maybe Tosfos assumes like the position of the Maram. The Maram in his Hilchos Machos Siman Nun Daled writes that the whole din of Yeshiva Gabi Karka for an Ovel is only true when the Menachemim are with him. That's the context of the Pasuk in Iyuv. Iyuv's friends sat together with him. So when the Menachemim are sitting together with you, then there's a din of Yeshiva Gabi Karka, Vayishvu Tol Aretz. But there's no Isser per se for an Aval to sit on a chair if there are no Menachemim there. So Tosa could be referring to the Me'ikra din is that an Aval only has to sit on the floor when there are Menachemim in Mitzvah. And Tosas may be referring to a practice of not sitting on a chair, even if there are no Menachemim Metzlow. Okay? The Shach writes over here, Sifkatan Aleph, it's only one Sifkatan. Even though the minhag is that we don't do Kfiya Samita, Mikam Akam, Asir Lo Leishev Al Gabe Safsal O Karmuksasas. So we don't do Kfiya Samita, but that's only one of two halachas that are relevant here. The Din of Yeshiva Al Gabe Karka still applies. That's unrelated to Kfiya Samita. And therefore, an Aleph is not allowed to sit on a bench. He's not even allowed to sit on pillows or blankets on the floor. Ki im al gabe karka. He has to sit al gabe karka mamish. Im lo chal v'zaken. Sheesh lem sar v'yeshiva gabe karka. Mutar m'lhasim karka to mitachtav. Unless it's a chal v'zaken where it's painful. So they're allowed to put a small pillow underneath them. Miu yachal leila falamod. He's allowed to walk around. Ein asarach leishav klal. Rakisham anachim imetzlo. Asarach leishav gabe karka. Okay, so it's not mechuyev to sit on the ground all day, but when the menachem are there and he's sitting down, he should sit on the ground. So the Shach says, the din of yeshiva al-gabei karka definitely applies in Zman Hazeh, and it applies fully, al-gabei karka mamish, you can't even sit on a pillow. Says Rebbe Kiveger, mutter on the Shach, umutter la'tziya kar miksasas ala karka v'lishan aleihem. He quotes from the Teferis of Moshe. You are allowed to put down karu muksasos. But the Shachet said it applies to sleeping also. If you want to sleep, you have to sleep on gabei karka. Kiveger quotes in Teferis of Moshe, you're allowed to put down pillows on gabei karka. And he's talking about sleeping. Could be it applies to sitting also. Aruch HaShulchan says it applies to sitting also, that you're allowed to sit on pillows and the like. It doesn't have to be al-gabei karka mamish. It raya from the pasuk. Pasuk in Eov, vayishvu ito la'aretz. It doesn't say al-aretz, on the ground. It says la'aretz. La'aretz can be interpreted as samach la'aretz, near the ground. It doesn't mean that they're al-hakarka mamish. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan thinks. That as long as you're samach la'aretz, that's sufficient. You don't have to be sitting al gabei karka mamish. Father Shulchan writes in Katan, hey, hamachmir togla bracha, that even though Mikra Din is what to rely on to be make like to give eger, and the Aruch HaShulchan not to sit al gabei karka mamish, but Father Shulchan thinks hamachmir togla bracha. The Kitzur Svarim quote from Das Kedoshim and a Marsham that they were mako for an oval to sit on something that's within three tefachim of the ground. Shir Lava, that's considered sufficiently samach laretz. Yeshua Chai Bechim Bechel Tukachinsky says up to one tefach from the ground, and the Marsham is matir up to three tefachim on the ground. That's considered, still considered yeshiva gabei karka. That's sufficiently samuch la'aretz. Rav Shechter goes to the Rav, Nefesh Arav, page Reish Nun Gimel. Rabbi Willick has this in Seven Bays and the end of Brachos as well. That the Rav thought the din of yeshiva gabei karka for an avil isn't yeshiva gabei karka per se. Now the din is you have to sit on the ground, or even lower the ground. The point is that there has to be a shinut, that you have to sit in a different fashion than you normally sit. And he brought a raya from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kaf. The Gemara that was talking about Hilchos Melech. It says over there that a Melech, when he's in Avelus, sits on a dargish, on a stool. And it's clear from the Gemara there, what's the significance of a stool? That's a shinoi. Normally, a king sits on a throne. When a king's in a velus, he sits on a stool. So it doesn't say the stool has to be samach lakarka, it doesn't have to be lavud or one tefach. It's a shinoi from the throne. So as long as, so kol's man, that there's no din of mita kfuya per se, because if you have the din of kfuya samita, so there are situations in which you may have to sit on mita kfuya. But if there's no din of mita kfuya, so the only thing we have left is the shiva gabei karka. Shiva gabei karka, the Rav explained, doesn't mean al gabei karka mamish, as the Shach understands, and even the other achronim seem to say that at least has to be within shir lavud. The Rav said, sounds like not even that. As long as there's a shinoi, that's a sufficient key in the shiva gabei karka. Yeah.
I didn't think it's from a stride because that gemara is meaning there's a din of different parts of the melech.
Right.
So there's many different
things
that he doesn't always follow what the normative is supposed to be.
Good. The Rav thought that was a right. Okay. The Rebbe Willig presents it as follows. Before coming on to the Rav. But why is it, so nowadays we're not knowing Mita Kfuya, fine. The Shach should be correct. That is the din of Yeshiva Gabi Karka. He should have to sell Gabi Karka Mamish. So Rabbi Willis suggested the following. The Shach writes in the end of that Sivkatan that even though Midin the Gemara, it sounds like the Menachemim should sit on the ground together with the Avelim, they should be sitting on the same level. Pasganiyov. Miu, Shach writes, HaMenachemim Yoshevim Magabi Sassal Dimistam Makalahu. That nowadays the practice is the Menachemim sit on chairs, they don't sit on the ground with the Avelim, because Mistama, the Avelim are Mochel. Meaning the reason the Menachemim should be sitting on the same level as the Avelim is covered for the Avelim. And nowadays Mistama, the Avelim are Mochel, so the Menachemim sit on the sit on chairs. The Rebbe Willig suggested along these lines, along the lines of the Maran that we covered earlier, the whole din of Yeshiva Gabe Karka is that the Avelim and the Menachemim sit together. They all sit on Gabe Karka together. So Kol Zman that the Menachemim are not sitting on Gabe Karka, so then Ikar Adin, there's no chiyah for the Avelim to sit al Gabe Karka. Because the Iker Takana was that you should all sit together. Like we saw in the Gemara Dafka of Zion, that the Gemara Dafka of Avim Beis, that Bishas Havra, either they all sit on Amita Zakufa or they all sit on Amita Kfuya. But the Avelim of the Menachem all sit on the same level. So if for whatever reason we establish that the Menachemim aren't sitting on the ground anymore, then the Avelim don't need to sit on the ground either. Ella, the minhag still is that the Avelim sit on the ground when there are Menachemim there, but that's only Mishaminag. Once it's Mishaminag, so then you can be Mako on what does it mean al Gabe Karko, like what the Rav says, that as long as there's a Shinoi, that is sufficient. But definitely you can be Mako not to require your Yeshiva al Gabe Karko Mamish. So we really think it's Halakhla Maisa that the whole din, since this isn't necessarily the Ikara din, the whole din nowadays of Yeshiva Gabe Karka for an Avel is only when they're Menachemim and Slow. But if they're no Menachemim and Slow, then there's no need to say it on Gabe Karka. So if there's no one else in the house, an Avel could sit on a regular chair. That's what Rabbi Willa thinks, Lamaisa, which is not Minagola.
Olam
is an oval sits either gabi karka or gabi something some of the karka
even during meals.
If an oval is eating in front of an achamim, then everyone would agree that he should sit gabi karka. But even if he's eating alone, the minhag olam is that an oval still sits on the floor. When I was in Avelis, I just couldn't bring myself to sit in a regular chair because it's not common practice, even though Rabbi Willick has his cheshbon here. And as far as sleeping, even though the shach is machmir that you should sleep al gabe karka, pischei shuva kotzim panim beiros is mekel, berachah yosef is mekel, arachah shulchan is mekel, ba'alei shulchan has to be mekel. There, I think the minhag olam is that we're mekel, especially nowadays that people don't have the same koach that they used to, that an avel doesn't sleep on the floor.
Same as Tishka, is that okay? Because
we have the same way Tishka also. I was going to get to Tishka, but we'll start with Tishka next time, because we're over time already. just left my train of thought. I was going to say something else, which I forget.
Sorry.
What it was. That don't, not your fault. Oh, yes. Rabbi Karp is very... So Rabbi Karp quotes the one tefach, three tefachim, that he's very stark that people are... He sees people sitting on things that are more than 3 tefachim in the ground when they're in Avelis, and it's not right, and you should protest against this. So according to the Rav, that would make a difference, because as long as there's a shinoi, it's not the normal... You know, like these Miss Askim chairs or... I think a lot of them are... Depends what your tefach is, but if you have a Chaim No tefach, then they're probably above 3 tefachim. So the Rav would say, it doesn't make a difference, as long as it's clearly a shinoi in the Ofen HaYeshiva, then that's still a kiyum in Yeshiva Gabi Karpa. But I think Rabbi Karp is reflective of the, we'll call it more traditional approach, that there's a more affluent than a Yeshiva Gabi Karpa, the melee can be mekel up to a certain point. There's Al-Gabi Karka Mamish, Lebim Kveger, and the Rosh Hashochan, but he thinks he should only take that too far. Okay, next time we'll maybe talk about Tisha B'Av in this context briefly. We'll move on to talk about mirrors, which may or may not be connected to Kriyas Amita. Then our next topic is Tefillin, Siman Shin Pei Ches, and we'll move into Shin Pei Tes, Kibbutz, and Gihutz. So let's try for 3 o'clock tomorrow. Okay.